program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Monday, November 14th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, or 1720 or 1520. I've been in so many time zones this past weekend, I'm not exactly sure what time it is, but let's just say it's 420 somewhere in the world, and then we'll all be happy, won't we? Welcome to the show. Hey, flying solo on today's show. Cannabis Carry has the week off, and then next week begins our hiatus. We're off for 2 weeks during the Thanksgiving and first week of December vacation, so adjust your schedules accordingly. We'll have some best of shows to play for you next week as well. But all sorts of great stuff on today's show to get to. Like I mentioned, I just got back from Atlanta, Georgia. I want to give a big shout out to Big Daddy Fink out there, who's watching in the chat room, and to all the friends out there in Georgia, Georgia Normal, Georgians for Cannabis, all the great people that I met, Sharon and everyone out there who put us up in North Georgia. We had a great time. We spoke on the steps of the Capitol. Daniel DeZucco was there. A lot of great bands, and we're going to bring you all sorts of highlights and pictures of that event on today's show. At half past, I'm going to play for you my headliner speech. I was the headlining speaker there at the event, and did about a 25-minute speech that incorporates some of the themes that I've incorporated before, but also some new stuff. So you get to see that entire speech as it was shot by our own Big Daddy Fink from the chat room. So check that out at half past the hour. It's also available for embed through our Ustream page. If you look at the videos down at the bottom, you'll find the embedding codes. Today at 20 after, we've got your Daily Toker Tune. We do that always at 20 after, so you can get some music on to go with your smoke. And today is Roots Monday, but I don't know if this next song necessarily qualifies under the Roots category necessarily, but it's music that I am bringing you from my trip to Atlanta, Georgia, where I got to meet lots of great artists, including this gentleman who goes by the name The Dubber, and a great acoustic guitar player and kind of spoken word stuff. So we're going to play a song from his new CD entitled Global Warning, and it's track number 10 is called As I Sit on High. I thought that would be appropriate from our Atlanta, Georgia music look back, retrospective there. So check that out at 20 after. And before we begin any of that, we start with our hemp headlines. Now, normally Cannabis Carry would bring you the hemp headlines, but I've got those today. All sorts of interesting news stories, including a study showing that California arrests for misdemeanor marijuana possession have skyrocketed even as we have legalized medical marijuana in the state. So I'll give you all the details and information during the headlines. In Las Vegas, the home foreclosure situation is causing lots of people to take up grow ops in those abandoned homes. Mexican drug cartels are beheading bloggers now. The Seattle's former FBI chief says we ought to legalize. And here in Southern Oregon, a clinic director gets 16 months in prison. All that coming up.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
This is Normal Show Live.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry has the week off. I'm Radical Russ here with your Normal News. California marijuana arrests are way up, despite 1 million medical users being protected from arrest. We've got a new report in from the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice, and it's entitled Misdemeanor Marijuana Arrests Are Skyrocketing. You can check out the link at our blog at stash.normal.org. And it's the latest piece of evidence to show that medical marijuana laws do not go far enough, and the time for legalization is now. This from the report. In numerical terms, 20,800 Californians were arrested for misdemeanor possession of marijuana in 1990, 54,800 in 2010. Meanwhile, the arrests for possession of all other illicit drugs, as well as for felony drug manufacture and sale, declined sharply. In 1990, simple marijuana possession comprised 8% of all drug arrests. In 2010, it comprised 22%. Now, you've also got to keep in mind that up until this year, when the decrim law was signed by Governor Schwarzenegger in late 2010, possession of up to an ounce was a non-arrestable misdemeanor. So when they're saying arrests for these misdemeanors, we're talking about people with more than an ounce in these situations, if I'm interpreting this correctly. And those arrests are possession of a gift of less than an ounce, right? If you pass a joint to someone, that can count as a misdemeanor worthy of an arrest. Any sales or cultivation in California of any amount is a felony, always was, still is, right? So all of this doubling or more than doubling of arrests is not people selling, not people growing, just people in possession. Now that is unless, of course, you are a medical marijuana patient. As California Normal has estimated, there are between 750,000 and 1.125 million medical marijuana patients in the state that are protected from arrest for possession, sale, and cultivation. Now, this represents roughly 25% to 37.5% of the estimated 3 million annual cannabis users in California that are aged 18 and older, and that's information from the National Surveys on Drug Use and Health. So, another way that you could look at this is, even as more than 1 in 4 California pot smokers became, quote, legal, more than twice as many were arrested for it. I also think this brings up an interesting point about the California medical system. When the cost of this becoming legal is as low as $42 in some places, and all you need to qualify is a complaint of sleeplessness to shop at the best weed markets in the world, true, it's $16-17 a gram, but even so, why are 3 out of 4 tokers not getting these recommendations? That's kind of amazing to me. Let me go back to the report here where they say in 1990, half of California's marijuana possession arrestees were African American, Latino, Asian, or other non-white, and 35% were under the age of 20. In 2010, 64% are non-white, and 52% were under the age of 20. Again, massive increases in those figures. Marijuana possession arrests of teenagers of color rose from 3,100 to 16,000, an arrest surge 300% greater than the population group of African-American teenagers, non-white teenagers. Compared to non-blacks, California's African-American population are 4 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana, 12 times more likely to be imprisoned for a marijuana felony arrest, and 3 times more likely to be imprisoned per marijuana possession arrest. Overall, these disparities accumulate to a 10 times greater odds of an African-American being imprisoned for marijuana in California than other racial and ethnic groups. And folks, this is how it has always been. Prohibition is a tool of racial discrimination, and nothing about 15 years of medical marijuana use has changed that. And finally, from the report, as of June 30th, 2011, there were 1,325 inmates in California prisons serving sentences for marijuana offenses, including 1,224 imprisoned in 2010. Marijuana offenders costing an average of $45,800 per year to imprison and serving an average of 13 months behind bars cost the state $60 million in 2011. So much for the notion that nobody really goes to prison for marijuana. Now, our opponents will say, you know, it's nonviolent first-time possession only that don't go to prison because, you know, simple things like growing your own plant, keeping your weed in 2 separate baggies, owning a scale, or selling your friend a dime bag can all turn those misdemeanors into felonies and then into some serious jail time. News out of Mexico from the Mexican drug war that's still raging down there. Mexican drug gangs are torturing and beheading bloggers and threatening cyber warfare over different websites where Mexican people have been gathering, the citizens have been gathering, to exchange information on where the drug cartels are setting up roadblocks, on whether or not it's safe to leave the house that day. Let me read to you here from Time Magazine. Another blogger was found murdered in the Mexican town of Nuevo Laredo on Wednesday, according to the Houston Chronicle. This is the 4th blogger since September that has been reportedly killed by the Zetas, a powerful drug cartel that has been instrumental in keeping the country's devastating drug war alive. The man helped moderate a site called En Vivo, which posted information about the Zetas' activities. The blogger, who posted under the name Rosca Tripas, was found beheaded at an intersection next to a note which read, quote, "This happened to me for not understanding that I shouldn't report on the social networks," end quote. Last week, hacker collective Anonymous apparently abandoned their plans, if such plans ever really existed, to take on the Zetas cartel, perhaps after a report from Stratfor claimed, quote, "Los Zetas are deploying their own teams of computer experts to track those individuals involved in the online anti-cartel campaign, which indicates that the criminal group is taking the campaign very seriously," end quote. The citizens of Mexico have taken to Facebook, Twitter, and forums just to communicate the basic information they need to survive day to day, since the visible and known television, radio, and newspaper reporters can't or won't cover those stories because they fear for their own lives. Information like, you know, where the cartels have struck, what's going on with traffic, is it safe to go out today, can I take my kid down the street without him seeing yet another disemboweled woman's dead, tortured body hanging off the overpass? And I got a link to that if you want to really read about it at stash.normal.org, but trust me, it's not safe for work. I mean, the UK media actually covers these stories with pictures. The problem is that Los Zetas, the particular drug gang in this story, doesn't like even the local news media snitching on their activities, much less the entire world reading it through the internet. And unlike everyone else on the internet, well, except maybe Jay and Silent Bob, they have the resources to go door to door and literally kill every local blogger they consider a troll. Let me read you this part from Boston.com, the Boston Herald. Despite heightened security awareness among the site's users Thursday, with warnings not to share personal information with anyone, they remain tremendously vulnerable, said Matt Harrigan, chief executive of the San Diego, California-based security firm Critical Assets. A trail of information like cookies, server addresses, login, and account information was easily visible for some users. Quote, I know enough about one user that I'm uncomfortable with how much I know about him just from visiting the site, he said. Just from having looked up information about him, the number of things I know about the guy is pretty staggering. Harrigan said it would be relatively easy with the money the Zetas have from running drugs to track down posters. Quote, if you're a Mexican cartel with hundreds of millions of dollars, there certainly are security experts in Mexico or former hackers or whoever they are, and I'm certain they're for hire. In other news, in Las Vegas, Nevada, marijuana fills the foreclosed homes in the Las Vegas area. This coming from the New York Daily News, reporting that houses emptied by foreclosure are filling up again in Las Vegas with marijuana. Like countless cities across the country, Las Vegas has been hit hard by the housing slump, with foreclosure properties flooding the market. These homes, which can now be bought or rented very cheaply, are being turned into marijuana grow houses, experts say, as drug dealers capitalize on the easy availability of real estate to build their businesses. Quote, you can't have crime without opportunity, William Souza, a criminologist at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, told the LA Times. All those empty homes present an opportunity for criminal activity. Frederica Ballard and her family were busted for filling their four-bedroom rental home with 61 marijuana plants. Ballard claimed to have had a doctor's note entitling her to grow 99 plants, but Nevada law only allows a medical marijuana permit holder to grow only 7 plants. And as this story continues, it talks about this this foreclosure boom and how the cheap house prices are leading people to set up these grow houses. It also touches upon an article while I was flying across the country this weekend that I picked up in Mother Jones magazine about the new suburban growers and how this huge downturn in the economy is causing a lot of people to turn to weed dealing and weed smuggling as a way to make ends meet. You can figure out more about that. You can find that article up on MotherJones.com, I believe, and this Las Vegas foreclosure article will be available at our blog at stash.normal.org. News out of the Pacific Northwest from the Seattle Times. Former FBI chief in Seattle endorses marijuana legalization initiative. Charlie Mandigo is not a household name, but the former special agent in charge for Seattle's FBI office is well known with law enforcement. In his 27-year FBI career, he led investigations against Ahmad Rassam, the Millennium Bomber, caught at Port Angeles, white supremacists in North Idaho, and countless drug smuggling cases. Now retired and in the private sector, Mandigo says it's time to change course on the 74-year-old federal ban on marijuana and has endorsed a proposed state initiative, I-502, which would legalize small amounts of marijuana and regulate sales in state-run pot stores. Mandigo describes drug laws as discretionary public policy that are too expensive to carry on and have many unintended consequences. In a statement, Mandigo writes, there is no question the time has come when government must curtail discretionary programs. If the resources were available, continued enforcement of criminal laws for possession and use of small amounts of marijuana might be a discretionary function of government. But we have gone beyond the point where the resources are available or there is a justifiable cost-benefit to society. There must be an end to sacred cows. Now, I do have to give a couple of points on this, though. That kind of framing, if the resources were available, we might still be able to go after marijuana, I think is dangerous. And I worry about us continuing to rely on this economic argument to say, you know, we can't afford to lock pot smokers up. Because what happens if the economy gets better and suddenly we can afford to lock pot smokers up? And finally, local news here that touches pretty close to home. Grants Pass, Oregon clinic manager gets prison for selling medical pot. From the Associated Press, the manager of a medical marijuana clinic in Southern Oregon has been sentenced to 16 months in prison for growing and selling pot. Josephine County Circuit Judge Pat Wolke told Brenda Thomas on Monday that he was imposing the sentence to show people that using the Oregon medical marijuana law to cover up illegal drug dealing will be punished. She was led away in handcuffs in tears, calling out to supporters to arrange for someone to take her roommate to the doctor. Thomas was the manager of the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation office in Grants Pass, part of a chain of medical marijuana clinics owned by marijuana activist Paul Stanford. She was convicted in July. Police raided her home in 2009 and found 200 pounds of marijuana. And real quickly, a story in the San Francisco Chronicle, pot raids souring the state's dispensaries on Obama. Another slice of President Obama's liberal base has become frustrated and disappointed with him. A growing number of leaders in the California's $1.5 billion medical cannabis community. Supporters of the state's network of medical pot businesses, like some members of the gay and environmentalist voting blocs, think Obama has not lived up to his campaign promises. He must have done the calculus and figured he'll lose less of us than he'll gain. That's right. It looks like our votes don't matter. He's willing to throw all of ours away, figuring that there'll be more votes to be gained from being tough on weed. We're back with music.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Yar, there be pirates here. Yo, ho, ho, ho. And a ton of good smoke. Har, har.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everyone. One of my favorite things about traveling this country and speaking at events and to different audiences in all the great states of this land is the opportunity to meet so many independent artists and musicians who are there, just like me, donating time to be able to help to end marijuana prohibition and to lend their artistry to the cause. And we really appreciate all the artists that do that. Today's artist for Roots Monday is one called The Dubber. And he appeared at the Atlanta, the Capitol Cannabis Jam there right on the steps. And it was just a really interesting set that he came out with, because it was just him and an acoustic guitar. And he, great acoustic guitar player and great singer, but he also had this ability to kind of make clicks and drum noises while he was singing and playing guitar. It's almost as if he had a guy doing beatbox next to him, except it was just him. He was able to keep the tone going while he would make the clicks and such. So a really interesting set, and I really enjoyed his music, very conscious lyrics. And his latest album here is called Global Warning, and this is from The Dubber, and I'm not sure which record album, or if it's with a record company, Global Warning LLC. So I think it's just self-produced at this point. And I don't know if you're able to pick this up, but for booking information, you can reach him at booking@thedubber.com or check out his website at thedubber.com. We're going to kick it off here with this Roots Monday track. This is called As I Sit on High. This is The Dubber from Atlanta, Georgia.
Guitar, baby, my balls ain't on my drawers, lady. I guess you're wondering, lady, is that the word you said? As I sit on high, you wonder why. As I sit on high, wonder why. Just a woman told my mama he'll be the one. It ain't nothing gonna stop him until the job is done. As I sit on high, you wonder why. You wonder why.
That's The Dubber. Check them out at thedubber.com, booking@thedubber.com. I like that so much, I think we're going to pull another one up here. This is a bonus track on the CD, a live version of his track entitled Back in the Days. This is JMD live version. The Dubber, a double shot for Roots Monday.
All right now, class is in session. The Dubber got something he want to lay on y'all. Check this out right here.
All right, let's pay attention in class, pay attention in class. Drop these three jewels on you. Check it. Number one. When you're thinking about something, you're just thinking. Number
Two, when you believe in something, you're still just thinking. And number three, when you know, then you know. Look it. These three jewels we gotta carry into the future. Carry me into the future the way our ancestors did. So,
back in the day, remember the days, okay, they're back again. Once again, remember the times, those ancient times when we was ruling things, way back when. See, this don't get denied. No matter how I'm trying, we stood the test of time. Shall we proceed?
Yeah.
Just move ahead. With this in mind, all the time we can fulfill that dream. One love supreme. See, this stuff can't deny. No matter how them try, we stood the test of time. Instead of leaping on the climb.
Want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization and regulation and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. At Normal, we've been prepping for this debate for 40 years.
Aloha, everyone. This is Wiz Calico from the Iwi Island Hour, inviting you to join us at our new time on the Normal Network, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific at live.normal.org. We also replay 6 hours later at 2 a.m., and we have weekend replays at 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturdays. You can also go ahead and start your week off on a good foot and get in an Iwi mood on Mondays at 8 a.m. Check us out at live.normal.org and at iwiislandhour.podomatic.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Founded in 1970, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the oldest, largest, and most popular lobby of cannabis users in the world. From our Washington, D.C. offices, we lobby our federal government. And from our chapters nationwide, we lobby our state and local governments to end the war on American citizens who choose to use cannabis responsibly. We take you now to our nation's capital for a visit with Executive Director Alan St. Pierre and a look at this month in Normal.
Well, not exactly. We're not going to visit with Alan St. Pierre, but we are going to talk about Normal and the local Normal chapters all around the country that are doing such a great job in informing their local population about the need to end marijuana prohibition. And nowhere is this needed more so than in the great American South. We see the polls all the time showing the southern states having the lowest support for marijuana legalization.
But hope is not lost. Those polls also show us that the support for marijuana legalization amongst Southerners is rising very quickly, faster than some other areas of the country. So this is the prime ground for new activists for marijuana legalization, for medical marijuana, for decriminalization, for all these strategies, and we want to encourage everyone to get involved. Georgia Normal is working down there at georgianormal.org. There's also a group I met called Georgians for Cannabis, and I've always said, I don't care what acronyms behind your name as long as you're with me on this side of fighting prohibition. So join whichever group you want to, but get active in Georgia. And I was really excited while I was there because of so many people that were driving by honking their horns in support. And I was featured as the feature speaker there at the event. And I want to take this time now to bring that up for you and play that speech for you. I was introduced by Daniel DeZucco, and the filming here was done by Big Daddy Fink from our chat room. Enjoy this. This is me at the Atlanta Capital Cannabis Reform Jam.
It's Saturday, November 12th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Yeah. Probably right here, right? Soon. Give it up for Daniel DeZucco, too. What an MC. What an MC. So I come here to talk to you about what can be done, what should be done, and what will be done, and that is the end of cannabis prohibition, not later, but now. I have been to the promised land, Portland, Oregon, or as we like to call it, Potland. I'm a caregiver in the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program, and the state of Oregon passed medical marijuana in 1998. This is my card. It's my caregiver card. And because I have this card, I'm legally entitled to grow 6 mature marijuana plants, 18 immature cannabis plants, and possess on my person at any time 1.5 pounds of usable cannabis. I have one of these cards. 50,000 Oregon patients have these cards. 40,000 Oregon caregivers have these cards. 25,000 Oregon growers have these cards, working out to about 750,000 pounds of legal cannabis going around the state of Oregon. Yeah. And yet, the train still runs on time. People still go to work. Kids still go to school. Dogs play in the park. In other words, Portland, Oregon is not that much different than any other major American city. Legalizing medical use of cannabis hasn't really changed much at all about Portland, Oregon. There's a lot of people that are afraid of cannabis, and I think that's primarily why we're here today, is to show our fellow citizens. I hear them honking as they're going by, honking in support of what we're doing here today. It reminds me of something about how people think and how people act politically in this world. It's, you know, you remember junior high? Y'all remember junior high? You went to the first junior high dance? And all the boys stood on one side, and all the girls, they stood on the other side. And nobody, everybody was afraid to dance until that one couple got out there and started to dance. And then the next couple got out, and then finally everybody starts to dance. Well, politics are kind of like that when we're talking about something that's scary to people like marijuana, like ending prohibition. There was a poll they did in Minnesota, a 2007 poll. They were trying to pass medical marijuana in Minnesota, and they asked people, do you support medical use of cannabis? 3 out of 4 people said, oh, yes, of course. Then they asked the second question. Do you think your neighbor supports medical use of cannabis? 3 out of 4 people said no. 40 years of this war on drugs has been so powerful in propaganda that it's convinced half of the American people that the other half don't believe what they really believe. It's those people driving by honking. That when we ask in polls, and some anonymous pollster calls up and says, hello, we'd like to ask you, do you support the breaking of state and federal laws with regard to marijuana? Well, of course a lot of people say no. They're afraid. They don't know who's calling. Yeah, of course, no, I wouldn't support that. But when they're anonymous, when they're driving by, when they're honking, they're willing to give that support. They need to know that there's other people out there that think just like them. They're not going to be the only couple on the dance floor if they come out and support the legalization or the change in marijuana laws. So give yourselves a hand for being the first couple on the dance floor. Woo! Now, medical marijuana is a beautiful thing, and it has led to some amazing reforms that we've seen in the laws here. And I can't tell you, I do Normal's national podcast. It's a daily live talk radio show at live.normal.org. You can pick it up on iTunes, listen to it every day. I interview people, I interview doctors and scientists and lawyers and actors and musicians and everybody who knows the truth about cannabis. And I get to go to these events about once a month. I fly all over the country. And every time I go to one of these events, happen here, I end up talking to someone that goes, well, you know, Russ, I use cannabis medically. Before I used medical marijuana, I was on like 8 Vicodin a day or 12 Vicodin a day or 16 OxyContin or whatever obnoxious, terrible load of opioid painkillers they got them on. And since I've tried cannabis, I've been able to wean myself off of those opioids. I've been able to use something that doesn't stop up my bowels and doesn't cause upset stomach. I'm able to recover and live a non-zombified life. So many pain patients I know who said, when I was on all those painkillers, man, oh yeah, it killed the pain, killed my ability to form sentences too, right? And then they find cannabis and they're like, oh my God, you can't believe it. I'm using half of the pills I used to use. I'm using a third of the pills I used to use. It's amazing. And so when we talk about legalizing medical marijuana, there's a lot of people that don't like the sound of that. If you're Bristol Myers Squibb, if you're Eli Lilly, if you're Merck, if you're Pfizer, you don't like the idea of somebody using a half to a third of what you sell. That's not a good idea. And there's so many other ways in which we are discriminated against and you know, just prejudice against us as medical cannabis users. Now, I'm what they call a recreational cannabis user. I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I don't need the permission of a king, a court, a cleric, or a clinician to use my weed. God put that seed in the ground. It grew up. It's for me. Okay? But I understand why some people are nervous about that, though. I can dig that. I can see why maybe that's a step too far. Maybe in Georgia it's a step way too far. I can understand that. So when we bring up the medical use, we have to show people that, yes, there is people that smoke pot, and yes, there is that culture around pot smoking, quote unquote, and that has nothing to do with stopping the suffering of sick and disabled people. They are two issues, people. They are two issues. If you think that, you know, if there's people out there, and I know all of us here, we're pro-legalization, but imagine there's someone out there that's like, well, I support it for cancer patients, but I don't know about people just getting high. Okay, great. Let's take that step then. Let's take that step then, right? Let's go at least that far. Because to me, it really blows my mind whenever I hear the prohibitionists talk about, well, that cannabis might have some value for cancer and AIDS, but you know, if we let them have that medical, why, they're just going to get around it. They're going to just smoke it to get high. Oh, so you're telling me cancer patients need to suffer so high school kids don't smoke dope? Well, guess what? High school kids are smoking dope already. So why are we letting the cancer patients suffer? Why are we letting the AIDS patients suffer? Obviously, prohibition has not stopped a single person who wants to use cannabis from using cannabis, except the people who need it the most. Yeah. I'm never going to run out. They could end medical marijuana in Oregon tomorrow. I grew up in Idaho, man. And so I know Republican red state, you know, Christian conservative kind of stuff. I know that stuff. I was never at a loss for finding weed. I could always find a grower. I could always find a friend. Somebody's got some cannabis somewhere. But my friend who's got Lou Gehrig's disease, she can't wheel her chair down to the parking lot at the CVS to pick up from some dealer. My friend who's got multiple sclerosis, she shouldn't have to go try to find some sort of hookup. This is a medicine, and the more that we can keep telling people that and keep explaining that to them and show them the real people whose lives have been changed by it. And I've met some of you here today, and I meet more of you every time I go and do these things. Let me give you a couple of brief examples. Kathy Jordan's a friend of mine, suffers from amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, right? This is a disorder that causes the nerves and connections in your body to slowly rot away. Basically, you rot inside your own body. She was given a diagnosis of this Lou Gehrig's disease. Said, well, Kathy, better prepare your will and get your friends and family ready for your passage because you really have about 18 months to 2 years to live with this. It's a progressive disease. You're just going to get worse and worse. You're going to die. Gave her a death sentence. And she accepted that because, well, he's a doctor. He's a medical professional. He went to school and all. So she took the handfuls of pills they gave her, all of the pharmaceuticals they gave her. It made her worse. She got all depressed and all foggy. And it didn't help the ALS much. She started getting worse and worse and worse. One day, she's with some friends in Florida, and they're on the beach. And one of her friends says, "Hey, Kathy, smoke this. Give this a try." She'd never done any illicit substance in her life. And she's like many people, "Oh, no, no. I don't do drugs. I merely have these 9 different pharmaceutical pill bottles that I use every day, but I don't do drugs." So she finally relented, finally smoked that joint, and I can tell you, man, if I had a dime for every time I've heard this story, I smoked that joint, and it was like magic, like the first time anything had ever worked, that had ever affected me, that had ever taken away that pain and that spasticity and that terrible nausea that I have from all those pills. That day that Kathy Jordan smoked that joint was 1989. She is still alive today, thanks to cannabis. 2 years to live, she's alive today. So don't tell me it's not medicine. Don't tell me it's just people getting high. It's my friend's life that this saved. I'll tell you about another friend. Because we talk about medical marijuana, and I want to transition this to looking farther forward. Further forward. Because I know, again, we're in Georgia. We got to live with reality here. Medical is something maybe we can start to approach people with. Legalization might be a long ways off the hill for now. But keep an eye forward to that eventual legalization, because I can tell you every single problem that exists in a medical marijuana state today exists because cannabis is illegal for the non-medical use. California started medical marijuana. They said, "Hey, medical marijuana, you can grow as much as you want. You can, doctor can say you can have as many plants as you like. You can get it for any condition you want. You can go to dispensaries and buy it." The next 3 states to legalize medical went, that's a little much. How about we just have a list of conditions? We limit you to a few plants. We limit you to a few ounces. And then the next couple of states that legalized said, "Whoa, even that's a little too much. These people are growing marijuana at home. Let's take away their right to grow their own medicine." Every medical marijuana law that has passed since 1996, Prop 215, has gotten more and more and more restrictive. It's gotten harder and harder and harder for patients to get on that list. And in the case of Oregon, back in Oregon, in my home state, the legislature just passed a law to raise the medical marijuana registry fee from $100 to $200, from $20 for people on food stamps to $100. They're making it harder. And the legislators specifically said, "We're doing this to reduce the number of people on medical marijuana because 50,000 patients is just too many." 50,000 patients. They call that abuse. They say, "Oh, when you guys passed medical, you said it would only be for 500 people. No, we said 500 people would join the first year. And then once those 500 told their friends about how wonderful cannabis was, of course more people are going to join up." And only with medical marijuana as a government program could they consider more participation in it a failure. Makes no sense. Plus, this medical marijuana program in Oregon has run a surplus every single year. They have taken $1 million of medical marijuana money and used it for other state budgets. And the specific reason they said they wanted to raise it from 100 to 200 this year is to balance more other state budgets. And my point to them is, look, if you want to make money taxing potheads, don't limit it to the 10% that are sick. Tax me. Tax the rest of us that are the healthiest. We'll be glad to help you balance budgets, but don't tax the sick people. Don't make it harder for the cancer patient to get on the rolls. If you need more money, hey, we got it. We're willing to help out. Our growers are willing to put the Mexicans out of business, trust me. So medical marijuana, while it's a good thing, you have to look past it to see that if we keep going down only the medical path, we will only have medical marijuana. And the pharmaceutical companies know this. There is a DEA action going right now to try to convince the government to reschedule natural plant-derived THC for the pharmaceutical companies. Now, you know Marinol is legal, right? The artificial THC is legal. Here they're talking about allowing pharmaceutical companies to grow plants, take the THC from the buds, put it in a pill or a spray or something with a barcode, mark it up and sell it to you. That'll be legal, but if you grow the same plant and put it in a pipe and smoke it, you go to prison. So they are already looking forward to the pharmaceuticalization of marijuana. They realize they've lost the battle on this one. The general public by 70 to 80% supports medical marijuana. So they know they've lost the battle. Well, if we can't beat them, let's join them. Let's say, okay, pop people, you're right. Marijuana is medicine. So let's take it and make a medicine out of it. Let's put it in bottles. Let's put it in sprays. Let's put barcodes on it. Let's make you go see a doctor to get it. Let's limit how much you can get at a time. Let's give you an exact amount that you can take, just like every other prescription. Do you want medical marijuana to be just like every other prescription?
No.
Do you want to give medical marijuana to the pharmaceutical companies?
No.
Well, the only thing that stops that is legalizing it for everyone. So again, work for medical, but don't forget the big picture. We have to keep going farther than that. And here's a couple reasons why. In California, 1996, Prop 215, everybody thinks of it as the golden medical marijuana state. I have two friends named Dr. Molly Fry and Dale Schaefer. Dale Schaefer is an attorney, Dr. Molly Fry, a doctor. She had breast cancer. So she started growing marijuana for herself under Prop 215. Her husband, attorney, helped her. They're growing pot. They're in the city of Cool, California, and they worked with the city. They said, they worked with the city leaders. They said, hey, we're legit. We're just going to grow a small cooperative garden to help cancer patients. And the city went, yes, you're legit. Everything's fine. Please, thank you for talking to us. Thank you for being on the up and up. They grew a few plants. A few years later, here comes the sheriff and the DEA to bust the two of them. Charge them with the growing of over 100 plants, which triggers a mandatory 5-year minimum prison sentence. The way the cops got the 100 plants is they added up the harvest from 5 years straight. These people were only growing 20, 22 plants at a time. The cops added up all the plants from 5 years. Dr. Molly Fry is currently doing 5 years in the federal pen. Dale Schaefer is currently doing 5 years in the federal pen, despite being registered patients, despite getting the permission from the city of Cool, California. They went to trial. They were not allowed to mention that they have cancer. They were not allowed to mention that they are working with Prop 215. As far as the government was concerned, they're just dope dealers, and they need to go to prison. Is that right?
No!
So as we look forward to that, you know, eventual legalization, sometimes, you know, like when I go and talk to people who aren't in the marijuana business or in the industry, the movement as it is, I can get them to agree with me on medical most of the time. Most people will go, yeah, pot smoking's evil, but letting cancer patients suffer, that's more evil. So let's, you know, lesser of two evils, let them smoke pot. But that still means they think pot's evil. Right? They still think pot is evil. So we cannot go fully forward until we legalize for everyone. And when I bring that up, sometimes people go, oh, Russ, isn't there more important things for you to put your energies to? We've got wars in the Middle East. We got hunger and starvation. You really want to fight for people to get high and smoke a doobie? Really? Yeah. Really, and let me tell you why. There is no single issue in the United States that affects more of your Bill of Rights than marijuana prohibition. Are you ready for this? First Amendment, freedom of speech. Unless you go to trial and you're a medical marijuana patient, you can't mention that you're a patient. Freedom of religion. Unless you're a Rastafarian who likes to smoke marijuana as a sacrament. Freedom to petition your government for a redress of grievances. Oh, sure, we've done that 5 times with Mr. Obama. He's ignored all of them, but we still have that right, I suppose. Freedom to assemble. Well, we're examining that. That's going on pretty good. But let's take a look at some other rights that maybe you think don't get affected by marijuana. The Second Amendment, right to bear arms. In the state of Oregon, we have two county sheriffs who are taking a case to the Supreme Court that says we shouldn't have to give concealed firearms permits to medical marijuana patients because the federal government says you can't give guns to drug users. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives just released a memo that to all of the federal gun dealers in America that said you cannot sell ammo or weapons to a medical marijuana patient if you know they are a patient. Because that is evidence that they're drug addicts. So medical marijuana patients in the 16 states that have medical don't have Second Amendment rights. The Third Amendment. Anyway, people are going, what? Third Amendment? I don't remember the Third Amendment. Third Amendment's the one that says that the government can't store soldiers in your homes during a time of war. Okay, so that hasn't happened. But you know what has happened? There is a case going before the Supreme Court right now, based off of Oregon, and there's another case that goes with this as well, where police were able to walk up a man's private driveway, with no warrant and put a GPS tracker on his car to see where he was going at all times. So, sure, they can't put soldiers in our houses during times of war, but they can put tracking devices on us during a time of war. I think that's a little more intrusive than a soldier, don't you? Fourth Amendment. Everybody knows Fourth Amendment, right? Reasonable search. You know, you can't be searched. You have the right to your privacy. Yeah, right. Not if you're a pot smoker. In New York City, they have decriminalization of marijuana, yet they arrest 50,000 marijuana smokers every year. The reason why? The marijuana in your pocket is decrim. If you show it in public, it's a misdemeanor they can arrest you for. So the cops, when they think you have marijuana, they say, hey, what do you got in your pockets? Take it out. Well, most kids don't know that they don't have to take stuff out of their pocket. When a cop says do something, you do it. You take it out, boom, you're off to jail. So much for the Fourth. Fifth Amendment right. Right to not self-incriminate, right? Can't be called to testify against yourself. The right to remain silent. What is a workplace drug test except for incriminating yourself? Oh, but yeah, but that's not the government doing it. That's your work. And you have a voluntary choice to work. Yeah, in what country does that exist? Excuse me, everybody has to work. So right there, Fifth Amendment, gone. Sixth Amendment, right to a speedy trial. I know guys have been waiting in jail for 9 months waiting for their trial to get in take place over marijuana, so that doesn't exist. Seventh Amendment, right to civil trials, like you can sue people that do you wrong. How do you sue your dealer when he shorts your bag? You can't do that. Now, if I go and buy, like, a keg of beer, and the guy who sold me the keg of beer, it's half empty, I can sue his ass. But not the guy I buy my bag from, because it's illegal. So how do we solve those disputes? Or what happens now is people start shooting each other over it, because they can't sue each other. It leads to more violence. Eighth Amendment, prohibition against cruel and unusual punishments. Let me tell you the story of Jonathan Magbe, Washington, D.C. patient, quadriplegic, in a wheelchair. Got busted. Cops rolled up on him, had 2 grams of weed on him in the form of half of a smoked joint. They put him in a jail cell over the weekend. Despite the protestations of his parents and other people that knew his medical condition, they would not give him his medicine they needed. He asphyxiated and died in that jail cell. Guy dies in jail over 2 grams of pot. Is that cruel and unusual punishment? Yeah, it is. The Ninth Amendment says, just because we put a bunch of rights in the Constitution doesn't mean you don't have a bunch of other rights. Because really, we couldn't have written them all down. Right to breathe air, right to go to the bathroom, right to eat apples, right. And they couldn't write everything down, right? The Constitution would be a whole encyclopedia. Now, if we have rights that the Constitution doesn't say that we have to imagine what would the Founding Fathers think our natural rights were. Gee, do you think a bunch of hemp farmers might have thought it was a natural right to grow cannabis? Yeah, it's our right. It's our natural right. It's our constitutional right to grow any crop we damn well please. Tenth Amendment. Tenth Amendment says states' rights. If it's not a federal right, the states can control it. Ask California, Oregon, Washington, Alaska, Hawaii, Montana, Nevada, Michigan, Vermont, all the medical marijuana states. Ask them how much states' rights they think they have when the DEA is busting down the doors of their dispensaries. Not so much states' rights there. And finally, the 14th Amendment is the Equal Protection Amendment. That's, you know, after the end of slavery and all citizens have the same rights and you can't treat citizens differently. We're all equal. Unless you smoke pot. So think about that. And when your friends want to give you guff or want to laugh at or brush it off that you support legalizing marijuana, don't accept that. You be proud of what you're doing. Because what you're doing is the most important thing in civil liberties happening today in America. This is a civil rights issue. This isn't about getting high. This is about freedom. It's about our Constitution. It's about what America was made out of. Never be ashamed to be a marijuana legalizer. Always stand up for our rights. And remember that when you stand up, you're not standing up just for you, but the 10 or 20 people driving by with jobs that can't stand up. You're the most important people in Atlanta, Georgia, and I love each and every one of you for coming out. Thank you for standing up for legalization. I'm back with us.
And, of course, the Atlanta Capital Cannabis Reform Jam, sponsored by Georgia Normal. Fantastic job by Big Daddy Fink there on the videotaping. Thanks for doing that. And thanks for joining us here at Normal Show Live, Voice of the Marijuana Nation. We're going to keep up with it in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, which is already happening. But for those of you listening on the podcast, I have edited this down. I'm so clever that way. For everyone here at the Normal Foundation, thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with another great show and more stuff from the Atlanta Capital Cannabis Jam. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
We love it. We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.